This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
In partnership with BetOnline.ag, the place to be for all of your betting needs, comes the Red Sox Beat podcast of Josh Lewin. The Red Sox Beat is the best place to keep up to date with all the Red Sox news on and off the field. Every week features interviews with some of the brightest minds in the baseball world. This week features interviews with Boston Herald writer Jason Mastronato and Red Sox prospect Josh Ockamy. As you are listening, make sure to subscribe to the Red Sox Beat podcast with Josh Lewin on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher.
Red Sox Beat is back on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and visual content. I know, this guy is not Chris Cotello. I'm well aware I'm not Chris Cotello. This is Josh Lewin. You might remember me from doing some games where I could actually talk at some point last year, about 55 of them maybe, something like that, on the Red Sox Radio Network, filling in on occasion. Still might do a little pinch hitting for those guys this year. I love that. I've always been a play-by-play guy, but now it's a very podcast world, so I'm making that pivot and happy to take over this beat. I believe this is the 245th episode, which means I'll probably have number 300 on my watch sometime around the fall when perhaps the Red Sox will be in a pennant race. Perhaps they will not, but to get to the bottom of all that, the impossible to pronounce and spell Jason Mastrodonato is joining us right now, and he's going to get us up to speed on the very latest as we hit the midweek weekend, I guess, kind of towards St. Patrick's Day-ish portion of our lives. Coronavirus notwithstanding, we're all hopefully using soap and trying to just kind of get on with our lives. First of all, Jason, welcome. Thank you for doing this. And how badly did I mangle your last name?
No, it's certainly not impossible to say it because you nailed it.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I did practice in front of a mirror for like a long time. So you're driving as we talk, carefully, both hands on the wheel. You've got your Bluetooth or whatnot.
You betcha.
Going to where? Are you going to Port Charlotte? Is that where you're going?
Port Charlotte, yeah. They're playing the Rays tonight.
That used to be the Rangers' place when I was doing the Rangers games. That was my very first spring training with them before they moved out to, surprise, Arizona. And the one thing I remember, speaking of surprise, is if you go 46 and a 45 there, they get you. So be careful.
Ah, good. That's helpful. I forgot about that. You're right. I have heard stories about that.
I wish I had heard that story, like, you know, a little before I got to Port Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I remember trying to big league the cop, too. Like, you know, it wasn't the whole, like, don't you know who I am? But I tried to be all, well, you know, it's my first time in Port Charlotte. I'm the new Texas Rangers TV guy, and I sure do like your area. Oh, is that a ticket? Oh, terrific. Thanks a lot.
It's the glamour of the baseball life right there.
Yeah, no, I know. I wear it very well, as do you now. But we all have to wear it carefully in these coronavirus times. And that's I never thought I'd start a conversation with you about COVID-19. But I think that's where we all have to start now. Other than using soap and maintaining a good distance between you and every Red Sox player and coach, how abnormal are things right now?
You know, strangely, it's not that abnormal yet. It feels like we're just kind of hitting the tip of it. I mean, if you listen to the health experts and what's going on around the country, it seems like we're just starting to take precautions now. Like, we were way delayed for some reason. It took too long. And now all of a sudden you see a lot of sports teams taking actions, and the Seattle Mariners are going to have to find somewhere else to play for a little while. Spring training games are still going on. It's funny. I interviewed a bunch of people yesterday at the Red Sox game. They had the highest attendance of the season, over 10,000 people at JetBlue Park on the day that all over the country, they're starting to limit large gatherings. And, you know, Harvard is closing and Ivy League tournaments canceled and one thing after another. And there's 10,000 people in JetBlue Park. And many of them, you know, as we are in Southern Florida, a lot of older people. And I said, aren't you worried? You know, there's the experts say it's, you know, double at risk if you're an older folk. A lot of people are dying from this thing, and nobody was concerned. It was unbelievable. It was like they were just so happy to be watching baseball. They didn't seem to care. So the fans don't seem to care. The players say that they're a little bit concerned, although their interactions with the media, we can't go in the locker room, but it's still pretty normal. Like, we're still, I mean, it's not like I'm standing 6 feet away holding my arm out really far. I mean, they're being pretty flexible. They don't seem too worried in that way. They're just worried that once one player gets it, it's going to spread through the clubhouse. So it's not that strange yet, but it feels like we're just kind of getting started here.
I think it was Shaughnessy who wrote, and it really got my attention, that, you know, they're keeping all you reporter types at 6 to 8 feet away.
Yeah.
Well, but meantime, you've got these tour groups just sashaying through dugouts all over spring training. You know, you got like an 84-year-old dude just walking through the dugout, and yeah, that's fine. But anyway, I don't mean to go
yeah,
off.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. I mean, obviously, you understand why they want to protect the players, but you think there'd be a little bit more interest in protecting the fans. A lot of these people, I mean, sitting shoulder to shoulder, packed in like sardines in the stadium. I mean, this is what the health experts are saying is not safe right now. So it's surprising that the league hasn't, it's surprising to me that the league hasn't taken more action in that way. I think maybe it will in the coming days as we see some state governments and local governments and other leagues taking action.
Let me ask you about the education of all of us regarding this penalty that's hanging over everybody like the sword of Damocles. Just when do we finally get some sort of clarity about who's being penalized for what and for why?
They said it was going to happen before the season. And it, of course, they keep delaying how it works, and they want to actually... the coronavirus has not made it easier because they've kind of... So it's actually starting to get a little bit annoyed, I think. They just want to know what's going to happen. And there were reports that there was more in the investigation than they originally thought, and so it started taking a little bit longer, and then the coronavirus happened, and it started taking a little bit longer again. They're really confident in Red Sox camp that nothing's going to happen to them. I think they believe that what happened to the Astros probably very similar in terms of all the blame getting pinned on Alex Cora, where I suspect it's going to be a very similar situation where Alex Cora takes a lot of the blame with whatever comes out when it finally comes out, because the coaching staff is very confident that nothing's going to happen to them. You know, Ron Renicki's very confident he's still going to be the manager, and Tom Werner even said when this investigation's over that, I mean, they're going to make Ron Renicki the manager. He's not going to be the interim manager anymore. He's going to be the actual manager once he's cleared. So there's a lot of confidence. I suspect the penalty is going to be very heavy on Alex Cora. I don't know what specifically is going to happen to the Red Sox. If it's, you know, do they only lose one draft pick instead of the two per year that the Houston Astros lost? Do they actually go after Dombrowski? John Heyman reported Dombrowski's going to be fine. Nothing's going to happen to him. So it's just so hard to tell right now because we don't know. We don't know what's in the investigation, but judging by the vibe from Red Sox camp, they feel pretty confident that nothing's going to happen.
We'll get back to Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald in just a moment. I want to talk to you just for one moment myself here about this, because in partnership with Wondery, the creators of the Next Big Idea in Business Wars, here comes the School of Greatness podcast with Lewis Howes. The School of Greatness is the best place to learn how to dream bigger, how to live better, basically how to make an impact. Every week, the School of Greatness features conversations with world-class game changers, dives into topics from entrepreneurship and inspiration to health and relationships. So I'm inviting you to get ready to learn the wisdom, the skills, and the tools to write your own story. You're about to hear part of an inspirational interview Lewis did with Kobe Bryant in a special, very special conversation, the basketball legend opening up about overcoming failure, staying humble, and reaching for excellence in everything you do. As you're listening, subscribe to the School of Greatness with Lewis on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Hard to believe that Kobe Bryant is no longer with us. We continue with Jason Mastrodonato, who, by the way, is from Rochester, New York, and has the 585 area code on his phone, which I just love, because I grew up in Rochester before there was a 585 area code. We were 716ers, all of us, and they finally splintered off to 585 when Jason was probably in around second grade. So between Tom Keaton and Jason, and me, we're rocking the rock in New England. We got some Rochester representation. So
that's right.
Just throwing that out there. Hey, I want to ask you about a couple of guys here. Rafael Devers is first on my mind because, you know, he's been basically renewed, right, for his contract this year. I mean, they didn't give exactly the bottom of what they had to, but it's pretty close, $692,000, which let's not do that thing where, boy, wouldn't I like to make $600,000. He's Rafael Devers, right? I mean, so comparatively, that's not a lot of money. Moncada, his good buddy, got his 5-year extension with the White Sox. Now people are wondering, when is Devers' extension coming? Do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, we asked him, and he seemed pretty bashful. Like, you know, the thing about the contract thing is it's I think right now you look back and you compare to what happened to Mookie Betts, right? 3 years ago, Mookie Betts was in the same spot. Last year before arbitration, the team could just renew his contract at whatever they want. He's got no right, no say in the thing. He chose not to agree to the contract, even though they gave him $950,000, which I believe was close to a record at the time. I think Mike Trout got $1 million, which was the record at the time for his salary before arbitration. So the player has no say in this at all. They can pay him anything they want as long as it's over the minimum salary, which right now is $550,000. So 3 years ago, they offer Mookie $950,000. He doesn't want to agree, and we ask him why. And he says it's just to make a point. It's to take a stand that, you know, that's all he was doing there, was just kind of fighting for himself, that he doesn't think it's fair that that's what he's making. He came off a great year. He was certainly worth more than that. He didn't like that. Fast forward 3 years, we know the Red Sox can't sign him. They have to trade him. Now we're in the situation we're in. Devers was way less direct than Mookie. And so I don't know if he just isn't as passionate about it, if he isn't as educated about it, if he kind of is one of the players who just wants to play and he lets his agent handle all that stuff. I don't know, but he just said he's fine. He's got no hard feelings. He didn't really seem to care all that much about the contract situation. I think it's a scary situation if you're the Red Sox. You can't lose him. You can't lose another. You can't keep losing all of your star players one after another because you don't want to sign them long term. So I think that's something to keep an eye on, is how do they treat their star players going forward? I mean, they signed Bogaerts long term at what I thought was a pretty steep discount for the player to take. He certainly would have made more in free agency. If you look what Anthony Rendon ended up getting, pretty similar players, I think, Bogaerts and Rendon. So you watch how the relationship develops in this way, and you see how the New York Mets are treating Pete Alonso, giving him the record salary for a player coming off his rookie year, that they didn't have to do that, and he was very happy about that. You try to build these relationships. So I don't know if the Red Sox are doing that well right now. We'll keep an eye on the Devers situation, but it didn't go well with Mookie.
Couple guys I want to ask you about before I get to something you wrote, which I just loved the other day. I'm trying to figure out the catching situation. Will they carry three catchers or not? Ran a Kevin Plawecki interview the other day just to get people acquainted with him. Jonathan Lucroy, I feel like more people know who he is just because he's been kind of a high-level player not too long ago in the big leagues before he started getting hurt all the time. Ron Renicke knows him, loves him, hasn't had a great spring yet, but what do you know of Jonathan Lucroy?
Yeah, you know, I had a really interesting conversation with him today. He's 33 years old. He's coming off a herniated disc in his neck that he had surgery for. He said they tested his bat speed in the offseason before surgery and after surgery, and he doubled it after surgery. And, you know, coming into camp, Renicke obviously loves the player. He said that Lucroy used to just go into his office when they were together in Milwaukee, and they just start talking baseball before the games quite often. And he's got a lot of faith in his ability to be a catcher, to call pitches, to lead a staff. I really suspect that he's gonna give Lucroy a chance. And, you know, talking to Lucroy today, he made an interesting point that I haven't heard before. He said, you know, pitchers often have to reinvent themselves after losing velocity. And he said, Trevor Hoffman and Francisco Rodriguez used to talk to me about that, how they have to reinvent themselves later in the career when they lose velocity. He said, hitters do too. And so he's kind of reinventing himself right now. He's working with Jason Varitek. He's got a whole new catching stance where he's going down on one knee and he feels much more comfortable with it. The Red Sox say he's doing a great job blocking balls, better job pitch framing. He used to be one of the top in the league in pitch framing. This is a guy who in 2014 finished fourth in MVP voting. So certainly has tremendous offensive potential. And tremendous defensive potential. If he can get back to a little bit of himself, I think they're going to give him a chance. He's even going to play some first base in spring here to see if he can kind of be a utility guy, like a catcher slash first base utility guy, come off the bench. I would be shocked at this point if they don't carry him to start the season. He's looking pretty good.
You know, you mentioned making adjustments later in somebody's career. I know Chris Sale doesn't have to become Jamie Moyer quite yet, and I'm not advocating for that. But when we finally get to see Chris Sale on the mound for any kind of extended period of time, what kind of Chris Sale do you think we're going to be looking at?
Ooh, it's so hard to tell right now because, you know, the thing, I think the biggest thing that he said when he had his press conference after his elbow got hurt was he's not going to change. And I think that's pretty important for him to recognize and for the Red Sox to recognize that they got to keep letting him be Chris Sale. You know, there's a lot of talk about what happens with guys who have these low three-quarter arm slots. Like, are they more prone to injuries? Well, you get different opinions based on who you talk to. I don't know that there's actually any data that says they are. But Chris is not going to change his arm slot. He's not going to change the way that he pitches. He's not suddenly going to start throwing 90 miles an hour just because he wants to keep himself healthy. The way he explained it was, I'm going to go out there and let it rip 100%. And if my arm still hurts, then you're looking at Tommy John surgery. And if his arm doesn't hurt, then he's going to just give the season the best he's got like he has in the past. So I don't suspect that he's the type of pitcher who's going to start being careful because he doesn't want to get hurt. I think he's the kind of guy who's going to go all in. And if it's not working, he's going to get the surgery.
Hey, one more thing to tell everybody about, with March having arrived and we're coming up on the big tournament. Yes, that tournament. Make sure you go to Bet Online, open an account today. You can get in on their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest. Starts on March 15th. Yeah, $100,000, March 15th. You don't need to be hardcore to get in on the action. Multiple entries available to you. Really, this season's best chance to cash in. And remember, the NBA, XFL still going strong. So whatever your passion is, Bet Online, the place to be for all your betting needs. We invite you to visit our good friends and exclusive partner, BetOnline. Take advantage of the very best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. Make sure to use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, I want to get to a guy that I never thought we'd be talking about. I actually talked to Josh Ockamy in spring training about a week ago. I'm going to run that interview for our good friends here on the podcast when you and I are done talking, because I think he's a really interesting, well-spoken dude.
Yeah.
You just wrote about your chance encounter with him in the offseason. Can you fill everybody in on that? I love this.
So it was right at the end of the regular season for the Red Sox, mid-September. They were in Philadelphia. And at that point, they had already made their call-ups from the minors, and Josh Ockamy was not one of them. Pretty good season in Pawtucket, 25 homers. Still looks like he's got a chance to make it to the big leagues at some point, but was not called up. Some of his teammates were. So his teammates were in at Citizens Bank Park playing for the Red Sox on a Saturday in September. And I was covering the game. So I call a Lyft from my hotel in Philly to go to the game. And I get in the car, and the guy's name is Josh. And I have no idea who he is. And we start talking. And before you know it, I realize who he is. And it's Josh Ockamy. And he says that he likes to drive Lyft in the offseason. And it was his first time doing it. He said he did it every day early in the offseason because he needed to give his body a rest. He just wanted something to do. Obviously, we know minor leaguers aren't making a ton of money. They don't get paid in the offseason. They only get paid during the season. So that was his job. And he said he loved it. He talked to people. He was a friendly driver. He's not the kind of guy who just sits there quietly in the front seat. He likes to talk. Really interesting guy. And you know, he said he's just having a lot more fun playing these days, too. And I think that kind of showed this spring. He had a nice spring in Major League Camp for a little while. They just sent him back to Minor League Camp. But certainly a guy, it's hard not to root for the kind of guy like that. Just a friendly, personable dude who works hard and understands what it takes, hopefully, at some point to get to the big leagues.
When I was in the International League, Jason, and you'll appreciate this because you're from Rochester too, when I was doing the Rochester Red Wings games, there was a Pawtucket Red Sox first baseman who we all knew would never make it because he just, you know, didn't really have that major league look to him, didn't have the pedigree. His name was Mike Twardowski. Great dude. Toad, they called him. Kind of looked like one. But same deal. Just the friendliest guy. You rooted for him. You know, he did enough things at AAA that he always hung around at AAA. And never really broke in the way he wanted to. And I have no idea whatever happened to Mike Twardowski. Maybe he's listening to this podcast right now. And I'd love to get back in touch with him because he was one of my favorite visiting players that ever came through Silver Stadium in Rochester back in the day. But yeah, those guys who are on the cusp, kind of always on the verge of being on the cusp, or on the cusp of being on the verge. you root for guys like that. I think Josh Ockamy is one of them, and I'm going to run that interview back with him in just a bit for everybody. Let me finish up with you there, if you don't mind, because just on that topic of interesting guys in camp, guys that you've met either last year or this year. I mean, I think of a guy like John Andreoli, who's not going to probably make the team, right? I mean, but he's, you know, 29 years old. He's from Worcester. I think it's just really interesting. Prioritized his wife's career over his. He moved to New Jersey recently to make it easier for his wife, who's an aspiring actress, to go on auditions and things like that. You know, his dad used to be a practice squad player for the Patriots and is a great coach now. So, you know, you run into guys like that, you hear their backstories, and you're glad you went to spring training, or better stated, almost glad you went to spring training. Are there guys like that, like Andreoli, who have come into your universe too?
Yeah, I'm trying to think this year some guys who have been interesting. I mean, Ockamy was certainly one of them. You know, Bobby Dalbec's a kid who I find really interesting, just a quiet guy, but he takes himself so seriously that they're trying to teach him how to be more relaxed, how to enjoy the game a little bit. Obviously, he's extremely talented. I find the personalities fascinating. There's so many different personalities that you have that can make it in this game where it is such a mental game, and yet you can have guys that are so goofy and relaxed out there, and you can have guys that are so serious and focused and still have success. And I'm trying to think who else in the Red Sox this year has been kind of interesting from that perspective. You know, Ruisne Castillo to me is a really interesting one. The guy, I mean, he's 32 or 33 years old now. Nobody feels sorry for him because he's made a ton of money, but he's been stuck in the minors for 4 years, and he's free after one more year. And it's tremendous to see, like, the outlook that he has. You know, people talk about how friendly he is, how he's a professional, how he pays for people's dinners in Pawtucket. And when I think about my time and growing up in Rochester, there was always one or two guys who you knew were going to be on the Red Wings every year, and you just loved watching them play because you became familiar with them. And so when I look at, like, Ruisne Castillo, I hope that he's got that kind of relationship with people in Pawtucket, that they just love watching him play, that they've got to see him play so much. You know, kind of a 4A guy. We'll see what happens next year if he gets a chance somewhere when he's finally free. But that's a guy for me that stands out for a minor leaguer who just has a really interesting story.
That's a great answer. And hey, I really appreciate your time, Jason. Do drive safely. Make sure you use a lot of soap, although not while you're driving. Don't go 46 miles an hour in a 45, and we'll catch up with you soon, my friend. Thanks so much.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Anytime, man. Thank you, buddy. Brilliant stuff with our good buddy, Jason Mastrodonato. I do want you guys to hear this, the Josh Ockamy interview from spring training. I'm going to go ahead and roll that for you right now.
One of the great last names in the entire organization. We're with Josh Ockamy right now. And tell me about, I got to start there because it's a name as a broadcaster. It's just fun to say. It sounds aggressive. Mm. It's cool. I mean, so what's the derivation of Ockamy? Do you know?
As I remember, I think it's straight from, you know, where, you know, the homeland. Straight from Africa. So the fact that, you know, it's made its way all the way over here and has changed, it's something to be, you know, proud of, you know, from family-wise, so.
Let me ask you about your family a little bit. Tell me about your mom and dad, your upbringing, and how you became who you are.
They were really good parents. I think, you know, I love to say that they raised me the right way. They were very supportive in everything we did, for me, my brother, and my older sister. They did everything they could to make us, you know, succeed and be, you know, comfortable and happy in life. So.
When you look back to your childhood, what are some of the things that you think kind of will stay with you, whether it was baseball field or football, basketball, or nothing to do about sports?
I got to say, it's just, they were very hesitant on, if I say, like, man, like, you know, say if I had a bad game and, you know, as a little kid, you know, you kind of get, you know, sick and tired of it. Like, man,
yeah.
Like,
we don't know how to process it yet, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. And they kept saying, it's like, man, like, it's just one bad game. You know, imagine how you feel after, or how you felt after a good game. So that goes with everything. You know, when my brother, when he was playing football, when my sister, when she was playing basketball, they were the same way with them. So they really encouraged us to keep going. Don't, you know, when things get tough, it's not the time to give up.
Yeah, yeah. So, have you applied that to professional baseball now? Because, I mean, just to refresh people, your numbers last year at Pawtucket, 25 home runs, you walked a ton. I mean, you had some good hitting streaks for a while. But then, you know, at the end of the year, the old metric of batting average, you're like, well, wait a minute. You know, how come it was only that? Yeah. So when you take those life lessons, I guess, like you say, from your childhood, do you find those being applicable now?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and I look back at last year, I'm just like, you know, like, it happened, but, you know, there's got to be some adjustments to be made. So that was the thing that, you know, they preach. It was just in case, well, just because something doesn't happen or doesn't go the way you go doesn't mean you give up on it. You keep adjusting and, get back at it the next year.
Your brother, twin brother, do I have that right? You guys are identical twins?
Fraternal.
Fraternal twins, all right. So he's carved out his own thing, more of a football guy. Did you guys, was there ever a chance that you could have been the football guy and he could have been the baseball guy?
It's funny because, like, you look at her size now, it's he looks more of a baseball player.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I mean, he was about it in football. He his senior year at Del Valle College, a D3 school, but they were, I think they finished fourth or fifth in the nation. And I mean, that going to those games, I actually enjoyed going to those games because that team they had, I mean, they were legit. There were a lot of NFL talent guys there and NFL scouts there too as well. So it was good to see him play well under those circumstances.
So you guys were Philly guys, and I know this is a New England broadcast here, but let's just get honest with it. Yeah, Eagles Super Bowl, that had to be a pretty nice moment for you.
Yeah, I was down here at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I was the only one wearing any Eagles stuff. but I mean, I was sticking to my team. I mean, like, I'll get this out the way. I love the Patriots. I love Tom Brady, Belichick. I have the most
healthy respect, right?
Yes. But I mean, that was my team there. So it's
how can you not?
Yeah.
Right.
So, and that was the thing. I mean, like, any other Super Bowl I'm in, the Patriots are in it, I'm rooting for the Patriots. But, you know, when it's against my team, and it's fair.
who were your guys growing up? Were you more of like a Donovan McNabb guy? Do you like the running backs, the receivers?
I was a McNabb guy. Shady, LeSean McCoy, when he got in, I mean, watching him run and juke everybody out on the field, and that was real fun to watch too. So even like when we had Mike Vick for a little bit, that was really fun to watch too.
So your off-field interest now, it sounds like you're still up on football. What else? Are you a Netflix guy? What else happens when you're downtiming?
This past offseason, I got into cooking. I love to cook. And
What made that happen?
I got tired of eating out every night.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, I like to eat food. So I was just like, all right, like, I don't have to, you know, spend – you know, $10, $15, $20 every day. Why don't I just buy it all and just, you
Smart.
Know,
yeah.
yeah, and make it myself, learn to make it, and, you know, learn through trial and error.
So you didn't, like, go to some big class or anything?
No.
Or?
No, wow. Pinterest and the Tasty app really helped me out. So, other than that, I mean, it's the same thing. I'm just like every other guy, you know, Netflix and, you know, Fortnite. Right. FIFA, all that. So,
who's your team in FIFA? Do you have one?
I last played it was Chelsea. Chelsea was my team. I love playing with them. I haven't been on it in a while, but so I've been busy cooking. But yeah, when I get back on it, I'll figure out the teams like who I'm most comfortable with. But
all right. So. Last one for you, Josh. Since you brought up the cooking and I didn't, what's the go to on that? What kind of stuff, if you were to do, let's say a 2-day meal plan here? What are you cooking?
All right, two-day meal plan. It won't be my specialty. Specialty is chili.
Really? Chili. Why? What do you put in it?
It's a family recipe.
Oh, you're not telling. All right.
I can't tell.
Okay, no offense.
Yeah, but some I brought it in Pawtucket last year, and I mean it went down pretty fast.
Nice.
To the team. So
all right.
they can describe it a little bit better, but yeah, I mean it was that's my specialty.
Okay.
So 2 day, I think I'm you know bake some chicken, you know, put some, you know, broccoli, zucchini, carrots and stuff, and get some like mashed potatoes or maybe like a sweet potato in there, and you know that's the easy stuff. But,
okay. A dessert, is that worth it, or you don't do desserts?
I'm not big in desserts. I mean, I love desserts, but I haven't gotten to that range yet. So okay. I'm still learning, still in progress.
Well, it sounds like everything you're doing is you want to learn, you want to get better, which mm-hmm. is an awesome, awesome trait. A continued success, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
All right, thanks again to Josh Ockamy. Very cool of him to do. And obviously, in these coronavirus times, I'm updating this even now at the end of the podcast because we obviously rolled tape with Jason off the top before a lot of news was breaking on that. Let's all just kind of roll with this together. What else can we do? I'm going to keep on putting some content out there because I think it's important that we all have something to do over the next few weeks or however long this takes to get back to normal. Happy to do that, and happy to also remind you of the other venture that CLNS is letting me do, which I think now more than ever might take your mind off of everything and give you a little bit of nice. The Throwback League is available. You can download that, subscribe to it. Hope you found that by now. It's a lot of fun. It's basically March Madness that is happening. It's just it's with World Series teams between 1974 and 2006 with a bunch of other at-large teams in there. It's a computer simulation and very, very accurate, I think. I take the play-by-play, the box score into a studio, and I record the game like it actually happened. So you're going to hear a lot of great names. This week's episode happens to be the 75 Red Sox taking on the 0-1 Diamondbacks. So if you want to know what Luis Tiant and Randy Johnson did against each other face-to-face, what it would have been like to have Fred Lynn hit one into the swimming pool, those things may happen for you if you go ahead and download and subscribe. It's called The Throwback League, and there's a website. You can track the brackets. You can look at the box scores, thethrowbackleague.com, and it's on Twitter, too, at TheThrowbackLG, short for league. So just some ideas on how to stay busy over the next couple of weeks. I know it's crazy times, but thanks again to our guests, Jason Mastrogiannato and Josh Ockamy from earlier in spring training when spring training was normal. This is Josh Lewin, Red Sox Beat, coming at you and still will.